I'm Jordan Goodman, and welcome back to Empowered, a young woman's guide to staying smart and staying healthy for life. This week, I'm going to be discussing the very personal subject of infertility and the increasing prevalence in young women today. I think most young women from a young age dream of meeting our prince, starting a family, and watching our kids grow up happy and healthy. We don't often stop and think, what if having a baby isn't that easy? Or what if we physically cannot? Some 7.3 million Americans, or 12% of the population, in their reproductive years are infertile. Young women often read thousands of articles on infertility and the many things researchers believe that can cause it. There are studies that suggest that a diet containing genetically engineered corn could have frightening effects on the odds of infertility, as well as studies that explain why young women being on oral contraceptives for many years can increase the possibility of infertility too. These realities, combined with natural genetic factors that can cause infertility in young women and men, is often overwhelming. I hope my expert guests can clear up some myths and give young couples who are unfortunately facing or will face infertility some options on how to bravely battle it. I'm anxious to welcome my first guest, Dr. Hirani. Dr. Hirani has a wonderful holistic approach to treat many illnesses as well as infertility. Dr. Hirani, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Dr. Hirani, before we talk about infertility, can you tell me, listeners, what originally led you to practice holistic and preventative medicine?
Okay, so I am board certified in family medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from USC Medical School in 93. Before going off to medical school, I got a master's in nutrition. But I soon realized while in medical school, there was no such thing as, a nutritional connection to disease, which, as we all know, is, of course, not true.
Right.
After finishing my residency, I started practicing, and I was quickly dissatisfied with the short 15-minute office visits with patients, working for an HMO. I had to do a lot of paperwork and request, even for just a simple x-ray. I had to fill out, authorization paperwork. And oftentimes these referrals would get denied because they were considered medically unnecessary or they were
mm-hmm.
not cost effective.
Right.
So oftentimes the patient would get a denial letter and they would get mad at, yours truly because
right.
they didn't know who else to get mad at. So it was just this really increasingly frustrating situation that I was in, and I couldn't believe that I had spent all these years, training
right.
and working so hard, to get to this point and be so dissatisfied with the practice of medicine.
Right.
And along the same lines, mm-hmm. I was being asked a lot of questions from patients like, Dr. Hirani, does glucosamine or chondroitin, would that be good for my arthritis?
Of course.
And I had no idea
right.
because no one had ever taught me anything about glucosamine or
mm-hmm.
chondroitin. So it was questions like these that just left me feeling really inadequate. Instead
right.
of saying, well, it hasn't been studied enough and there isn't
right.
much research on it, I wouldn't recommend it. I felt really inadequate to answer that question because, I didn't know.
Right.
And so it was this, this subtle, feeling that I had, that, there's something out there, there's another, form of medicine that's out there that, I'm clueless to. My brother, around the same time, was battling ulcerative colitis, and
right.
he came home, he called me up, and he says, I went to the health food store, and someone told me about Comfrey, and I started taking Comfrey.
Right.
And, my colitis feels better.
Right.
So I was just like, Comfrey, what's Comfrey?
Right. And
anyway, long story short, mm-hmm. I quit that practice and I really didn't know what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent out a resume to about 300 family physicians
wow.
in the greater Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
Just, telling them, look, I'm just interested in any kind of opportunity
right.
that you might be aware of. And then a physician contacted me and she asked me if I was interested in, holistic medicine, and I said yes, but I don't
right.
know anything about it. So long story short, that was 1994, 1998. So here I am, and it's been just a wonderful ride, wonderful experience. I love being able to use my skills in nutrition, and just everything. I just completed a physician's training course in homeopathy. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to bring homeopathy into my practice. So I just love integrating all these other modalities into the practice of medicine.
Right. And that's you know, the reason I'm doing this show is bringing other options to people that they don't know about and they can learn mm-hmm. about. And this show specifically on infertility, 15 more or less percent of American couples have infertility issues. And
correct.
What, Dr. Hirani, are some of the most common reasons you see that cause infertility?
Well, you know, the infertility, you know, couple has to, you know, get properly evaluated. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's the male, mm-hmm. it's, you know, the husband or the male partner. And, you know, oftentimes it's a low sperm count or, you know, the sperm count is normal, but there's a motility problem, so there's something wrong with
right.
the sperm. And the available research is pointing to a lot of chemicals of concern. For example, pesticides,
right.
And these are the organochlorine pesticides, DDT, aldrin, mm-hmm. herbicides, fungicides. All these chemicals, including PCBs, dioxins. And even phthalates and estrogens, which are present in, you know, cow's milk, are considered to be potential causative factors. The longitudinal studies have shown that the sperm count in men from, you know, the 1930s, the late 1930s, right up until the mid-1990s has, like, dropped substantially. I mean, we're talking, you know, a sperm count of, like, 113 million down
wow.
to 66 million
wow.
per ml. So, I mean, that's a huge drop in just sperm count.
Right.
And we really, like, research doesn't really have, like, you know, a handle on, you know, what exactly is the cause. But there, you know, obviously mm-hmm. there's observational studies that are telling us that it could be these potential pollutants in the environment,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera.
I think it's, like, astonishing to think that things in our environment can affect us so much. And I was going to ask you about how the chemicals in the foods we eat could be the reason we're seeing younger and younger women facing infertility, do you think?
Well, you know, there's a great book. It's called Acquired Mitochondriopathy. Mm-hmm. And mitochondrial dysfunction there's growing body of research, you know, showing that a lot of illnesses have their basis, you know, in mitochondrial dysfunction. And when you look at what are the potential causes of mitochondrial dysfunction, first of all, you need to know what the mitochondria is. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. It produces energy. So, you know, it's a well-known fact that certain chemicals like pesticides and VOCs, these kinds of chemicals can harm the cell in ways like the NMDA receptor, which is a receptor on the cell surface that triggers a whole cascade of inflammation, and it leads to an increase in production of nitric oxide, which leads to an increase in production of peroxynitrite, which is this horrible free radical that just goes on to cause tissue damage. So this is sort of the basis that we're looking at in terms of how environmental pollutants are causing, you know, damage at the cellular level. And so this is how, you know, we would look at this, you know, this cause of infertility too.
Right. Of course. We see, you know, all these pollutants. We think that they're causing cell damage and that leads to cancer and other illnesses. I think it's surprising to a lot of people. It can also lead to infertility.
Yes. It can affect, you know, it can affect women in terms of ovulation, you know, and things like that. So, and of course we talked about, you know, men and the sperm count and
right.
the dysmotility with sperm, et cetera.
Right. I think it's interesting. I think, you know, a lot of people have the idea that it's often the woman that's, mm-hmm. you know, is infertile, but it can, too, also be the male.
Exactly.
What are some potential risk factors for infertility?
So cigarette smoking, mm-hmm. there's been observational studies that have shown an association with cigarette smoking and decreased fertility in both men and women. Alcohol has been shown to cause a low sperm count and as well as impaired fertility in women. Caffeine, believe it or not, caffeine and tannic acids may be problematic. And it's not so much that, if you're just having one cup of coffee a day, the concern is, with people ingesting, many cups of coffee, like, more than 500 milligrams a day.
I mean, there's people that drink all those energy drinks all day long.
with all the sugar.
And caffeine.
And then, believe it or not, even celiac disease and food allergies could be a potential problem. So there was a small study that mm-hmm. was done in 25 women with unexplained fertility, and 8% of these women were found to have celiac disease. And so consumption of a gluten-free diet for these women actually was able to restore their fertility. So it's important to get tested for celiac if you are struggling with infertility.
Right.
And for people who may have potential food allergies, if they have migraines, asthma, uh-huh. or chronic, runny nose, they should maybe consider also getting tested for food allergies.
Of course.
So these are some potential risk factors. Others include even brominated vegetable oil. I don't know if you read about that on
my
website.
No, I haven't. Tell my listeners what that is.
So brominated vegetable oil is present in certain soft drinks like Mountain Dew and Gatorade.
Okay.
And so basically, brominated vegetable oil has been found to affect, in animal studies, fertility.
Wow.
So it's a definitely a good idea to cut out that Mountain Dew and the Gatorades, and maybe just cut out, sodas in general.
Right.
The vegetarian diet is kind of interesting because the concern, the thinking is that if you're vegetarian, it might be good for your fertility.
Right.
But what the research is showing is that with the vegetarian diet, you have to be very careful that you're getting enough calories and you're eating nutrient-dense food, because sometimes vegetarians tend to eat just a lot of carbs,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really eating, calorie-rich, nutrient-dense foods. So it's important to be eating if you're vegetarian, make sure that you're getting enough calories and you're getting the right types of nutrients in your diet. And then, of course, nutritional deficiencies could also put one at risk for infertility.
Right. I think a lot of women, diet their whole lives. And, there's a lot of young girls that went through eating disorders. And it's mm-hmm. true, from having an eating disorder, it can cause you to be infertile, correct?
Yes.
Or lead to infertility.
It's
so important to teach young girls that now so they don't, put their bodies through that and have to deal with infertility later. It's so sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, Dr. Hirani, can a woman or a couple expect when they come to your clinic?
So, we definitely like them to have had a workup done,
mm-hmm.
Through a fertility specialist, so that they know coming to see me, they know which person is having the issue, and sometimes it could be both. And then I will basically start by looking at their diet, of course, and talking to them about cigarette use and alcohol use and caffeine, et cetera, and even trans fats. Trans fats are, the oils that are found in fast fried and, junk food. So taking a serious look at their diet is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then testing them for nutritional deficiencies. Zinc deficiency has definitely been found to affect sperm count. And so is L-arginine and L-carnitine. So looking at nutritional deficiencies is important. If they are a suspect for food allergies, I will test them for food allergies and certainly for celiac. And then, you know, start them on a, you know, on at least a good multivitamin and maybe some empiric supplements. I also do something that's a bit unique, and that's heavy metals. Okay. And the reason for this is just like, you know, all other environmental pollutants, heavy metals can affect fertility as well. So unfortunately, heavy metals or, you know, mercury or lead toxicity or chronic metal toxicity is not really talked about, but it's actually in the forefront of my practice, especially with treating autism. I am a biomedical physician treating autism, and the number one most effective treatment for these kids is getting the metals out of their little bodies.
Right.
So I definitely look for heavy metals in the fertility patient.
Right.
And if I find that they have a heavy metal burden, then I will definitely encourage them to get tested.
Uh-huh.
Another very important issue to look at in infertility is hypothyroidism. And this is a reversible cause of infertility. And I've been able to help a lot of women by correcting their thyroid disorder. The problem is with thyroid condition is a lot of doctors just pay attention to the TSH value, or they're just looking at the blood test results, and they're not really listening to the patient. And fertility can definitely, hypothyroidism can definitely affect fertility. So I, you know, because I think outside of the box, I will get, you know, baseline thyroid blood work done. But if I feel strongly that this patient has a lot of symptoms of hypothyroidism, I will try them on an empiric course of thyroid hormone. And
right.
Lo and behold, it'll not only help their hypothyroidism, but it could help with their infertility.
Wow.
So these are some of the things that I do.
Right.
It
just depends on the patient, and you make a different plan for every patient.
Exactly.
And I think that's amazing. I learned so much just by going on your site, and I hope my listeners, you know, go on and learn more, and, you know, if they want to come to your practice. Can you tell my listeners how to connect with you?
Okay, so my website is drhirani.com, mm-hmm. drhirani.com. I'm located in Culver City.
Uh-huh.
My office phone number is
310-559-6634. Perfect. And I'll have all that information up on my website, too. Dr. Hirani, thank you so much for being here.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. Stay tuned for my next interview.